In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Luke, the 24th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, after Jesus is risen from the dead, but before he ascends into heaven, he appears to his disciples and proclaims to them again that his coming into the world, his suffering, his dying, his rising again from the dead has all been toward one end, the forgiveness of sins. And now, Jesus is sending his disciples out in the world to call people to repent of their sins and to proclaim to them the forgiveness of their sins in his name. Why is the forgiveness of sins so important? Well, without the forgiveness of sins, we are separated from God. Without the forgiveness of sins, we stand as God's enemies. Without the forgiveness of sins, God does not look upon us with favor. He does not look upon us as his dear children. Without the forgiveness of sins, every day of our lives we are storing up wrath for ourselves before God and wondering, just wondering, how God will return and when he will return to punish us. Without the forgiveness of sins, not even our death, not even the end of the world, could bring us shelter and refuge from God's judgment. The Bible clearly teaches that it is appointed to a man to die once and then appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every person in this world will one day stand before that judgment throne, the throne of the one holy and true just God. And without the forgiveness of sins, we would be damned, excluded from God's glorious presence and his joyous kingdom, and we would be subject to eternal punishment. But with the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, God now looks upon us with favor and pure love. With the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name, we are reconciled to God. And every moment of our life, God now regards us as his dear children. With the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name, we can know with confidence and certainty that on the day of judgment, there will be no wrath, no punishment, but rather a joyful embrace into the arms of our loving God. With the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus' name, we will receive all good things in endless joy and purest eternal pleasure, all because of the love of God for us in Jesus Christ our Lord, and through the forgiveness of our sins that God bestows upon us for his name's sake. To display his great love for us, then, God gives us the precious gift of forgiveness of sins. And God sends this gift out into the world desiring that all nations, that all people receive it. Accordingly, the forgiveness of sins is not some hidden mystery to be discovered, nor is it a prize that we need to climb up into heaven to obtain, or that we need to arrive at through private meditations and yogas and self-enlightenment. Rather, the forgiveness of sins is something that God sends to me, something that God brings to me. Thus it is written, Jesus said to his disciples that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. God sends this forgiveness forth out into the world. And this forgiveness, this extravagant love of God, is given to you in numerous ways. Ways that we sometimes call the means of grace. Like a man declaring his love for his bride through tangible things like flowers and chocolates and jewelry and a nice meal. So God conveys his forgiveness to you through tangible things like the gospel preached in your ears, or by Christian parents and grandparents who read you the biblical stories. And as you hear about Jesus and what he has done for you, as you hear about his love, his faithfulness and obedience, his suffering and death, his resurrection and ascension, his compassion, and that now he lives forever to help you, to forgive you, and to bring you to eternal life. As you hear these things, as you hear this powerful, active, and living word of the gospel, God is already working repentance and faith in your heart. God is declaring to you his love. God is bringing you forgiveness in Jesus' name. But God, you see, is not content declaring his love for you and granting you forgiveness in only one way, through only one means of grace. No, God also brings his forgiveness to us in holy baptism. Because of God's powerful grace and promise, we enter into the waters of baptism soiled with sin, and we come forth clean and forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As Peter declared on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And Ananias urged Paul, whose name was then Saul, brother Saul, rise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on Jesus' name. And if that were too little, our Lord is yet more extravagant. He also invites us to his sacred table, to commune with him, to eat and drink his very body and his very blood. And in eating and drinking, he bids us to depart in his peace, knowing that our sins are forgiven. Just as during his earthly ministry, our dear Lord Jesus ate with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners, so also today, Jesus continues to display his enormous love to sinners as he invites you and me to his holy supper. And so that you may not doubt, but know for certain our Lord's extravagant love and mercy, he has also entrusted to his church the power to speak forgiveness directly in his name in the words of holy absolution. So that when, in spite of all other assurances, our hearts still doubt the forgiveness in Christ, God has authorized human beings to pronounce his pardon and his peace, to say, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That is exactly why Jesus, after his resurrection, appeared to his disciples in the upper room and said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so now I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld. The preached and spoken word, holy baptism, the Lord's Supper, holy absolution are primary and central to the Christian life. But let us also never forget that as the church, as the body of Christ, when one suffers, we all suffer. And when one rejoices, we all rejoice. That is, God actually sends other people, our fellow saints of Holy Cross and Emmanuel, into our lives to proclaim Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins and life of the world. So not only from our pastor's lips, but also from the lips of our fellow saints, God himself is at work, beating back the sinful unbelief and the stubborn doubts of our heart. Through the lips of a friend, a sibling, a parent, a child, a neighbor, God testifies to us. He displays his love when we sin against our brother. Our brother confronts us, saying, you hurt me when you did this. We confess our sin, and our brother says to us, I forgive you for that sin. We rejoice. All of these means of grace, we receive them by God's grace alone and in Christ alone. God dwells in and with us to lavish this love and this grace upon us. Because of his great concern that you be constantly certain and sure of your standing before God, God continues to extend his forgiveness to you in these many ways. It's like he wants you to be sure that you are warm in the winter. So he gives you not one coat or two coats, but he gives you several coats. Who needs four or five coats, you might say? That's ridiculous. But God knows that sometimes the world and the love of man can be as cold and sub-zero as a North Dakota winter. But he wants you to remain always in the warm security of his love. Thanks be to God, who has loved us in his Son, and who makes that love and mercy known to us in so many ways. To him be glory forever. Amen.